This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Advice number five, your reward will be proportional to your effort. Now, hardship, as Imam al-Shatibi and others have stated, that it's not to be sought in of itself. The Sharia does not make hardship an objective that you pursue. What this heading is referring to is to the hardships that come about by themselves without you seeking it out. So Hajj, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a form of jihad. So whoever makes the trip of Hajj expecting it to be a holiday has made a mistake and will be let down. The pilgrim is to prepare himself, herself to be physically, mentally challenged. You may at times not find a mattress to sleep on. Sometimes food may run out, or your portion may become cold before it reaches you. You may get ill, your car may break down, you may get stuck in a bus for several hours, AC breaks down with it as well. You may arrive at Muzdalifah and the space allocated for your group has been taken by someone else, rightly or wrongly. You could arrive at Mina a little bit late and all of the good spots have been taken. Well, look, I mean, assuming you got to sleep on a rock, it's really not about what you enjoy in Hajj, it's about what you go home with. Allow that to be really the silver lining. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha, إِنَّ لَكِ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ قَدْرَ نَصَبِكِ وَنَفَقَتِكِ. Your reward will be directly proportionate to the effort and spending that you exert. Reward, effort, spending, they go up and down together. So when you feel that such challenges are on the verge of getting the better of you as a pilgrim, here's an idea. Try to think about the burdens of those who came before you and what they endured to be where you are now. Anas ibn Malik, he said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj on an old saddle, wearing a cloak that was worth just 4 dirham or less. And despite that, he made a dua and he said, Allahumma hajjatan la riya'a fiha wa la sum'a. Oh Allah, this Hajj is purely for you with no showing off in it whatsoever. Allahu Akbar. He's in this basic physical state, yet he's saying, Allah, there's no showing off in this Hajj. Subhanallah. In fact, Anas ibn Malik narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hajj ala rahlin wa kanat zamilatah. That the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam carried out Hajj on an animal that was carrying his belongings as well. In other words, he didn't choose comfort. In other words, there were other people who would usually dedicate an animal for themselves to ride during Hajj, and then another animal for their luggage to follow them. And as for the Nabiul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from his humbleness, he used one animal for both himself and his luggage. And Sa'id ibn Amr, he said that I was traveling once with Ibn Umar, the companion for Hajj, when we saw some fellow travelers from Yemen, and their saddles on their camels were of leather, and their reins were made out of hair, primitive equipment. And then he said that if anyone would like to see people who most resembled the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the farewell pilgrimage, he should look at those. So comfort, clean clothes, ease, convenience, these are not objectives of Hajj. And Al-Mundhiri, he titles a chapter in his work, At-Targhib wa Tarhib. He says, At-Targhib fi at-tawadu'i fi al-Hajj wa at-tabadhdhul wa lubs ad-duni min al-thiyab iqtida'an bil anbiya. The chapter is this: the encouragement of being humble in Hajj and to be disheveled whilst wearing lesser quality clothes in imitation of the Prophet. Allahu Akbar. I mean, the requests that are made to tour operators are honestly sometimes beyond belief. Can I have my own tent in Arafah? What type of bedding are you going to provide in the hotels? Is it American or Italian bedding? Toilets, are the toilets fully ceramic? Do you provide swimming facilities? Do you have private healthcare? What varieties of salads will you provide in the buffet? Another one, do you provide guards who can accompany me during the stoning of the Jamarat? La ilaha illallah. I mean, with the advent of modern day transport, remember the many thousands before you who failed to reach the destination that you've now arrived at safely? How many tears have been shed? How many travelers were robbed of their possessions? How many families were forever separated? How many lives were claimed by land or sea without ever getting a chance to cast a glance at the Kaaba? The stories are beyond count. And the narrations of those who just about made it, and narrations of those who were buried along the way, they are also beyond count. And one of those stories is that of a well-known sheikh from West Africa, Sheikh Uthman Dabo from Gambia. He once spoke to his friends and he reminded them about how Allah had given them strength and well-being, health, yet they haven't responded yet to the call of Prophet Ibrahim. Because when Ibrahim alayhi salam finished building the Kaaba, he called upon humanity to fulfill their Hajj. He said, "We haven't responded to the call of our father Ibrahim yet. We're strong men." Sheikh Uthman decided to embark on the journey with four of his friends. And for the majority of the journey, they were walking, only riding a handful of times. He said that we would stop at certain cities where we would find jobs to help finance our journey. And then we would proceed, and so on. We left our homes with food enough for only 1 week, despite it being a journey that would end up lasting 2 excruciating years. The pains, the anguish, the horrors that they experienced, as Sheikh Uthman said, are truly known to anyone, not known to anyone but Allah. How many nights did they spend in a state of near-death starvation? How many nights, he said, we spent being chased by wild animals, costing us much needed sleep? How many nights did we find ourselves running away from highway robbers? Sheikh Uthman said, on one night, I was stung by a scorpion and I fevered severely because of it. And the pain was so intense that I was up the entire night and I could feel the smell of death running through my veins, he said. My friends would go out for work and I would remain next to a tree all day and all night till they would return in the evening. And at that moment, I became so weak and Shaitan's whisperings intensified and my doubts. And he said to me, why didn't you stay home in West Africa? Why did you put yourself in this hardship? Hajj wasn't even an obligation upon you. And he said, my soul was heavy and I was on the verge of breaking. And when my friends returned, one of them looked at my face and he saw how I was. And I turned away from him, trying to hold my feelings, but he saw the tears in my eyes. He understood my pain. So he said to me, get up, do wudu, pray 2 units of salah. And I did that, he said. And I felt that Allah had renewed my strength and placed ease and comfort in my heart. Dear brothers and sisters, 3 of his 4 friends died during the journey. And the last of them, subhanAllah, drowned in the Red Sea. Sheikh Uthman said, when our 3rd friend died, I was struck with overwhelming grief. And I feared that I would pass away before arriving at Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And I was counting down the days and the hours and the minutes eagerly. And we arrived at Jeddah. And again, I felt severely ill. And I believed that this would be my end. So I read out my will to those who were with me. And I instructed them that if I die, clothe me in my ihram and bring my corpse as close as possible to Mecca. Perhaps Allah may increase my reward and accept me as a pilgrim. He said, we remained in Jeddah for a few days and then we continued our journey to Mecca. He said, my excitement was mounting and the joy from my face was unmissable and the yearning to see the Kaaba was shaking me till we finally arrived at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at this point, Sheikh Uthman, who was narrating this incident, he goes quiet and he breaks down into heavy crying. And after wiping away the tears, he takes an oath by the name of Allah that he in his life has never experienced a greater pleasure like the pleasure of that moment when his eyes finally fell upon the Kaaba. He said, when I saw it, I fell on my face in prostration in thanks to Allah and I cried in awe like the crying of a child. So if and when the hardships of Hajj seem unbearable, this is a story to bear in mind, along with the principle that states, your reward will be directly proportional to your effort and spending. That is advice number 5.